Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're both live and rested. Yes, we had a couple weeks off. I have to make sure I stay married. Spent some time in the free state of Florida. And a little less pasty white thanks to the beautiful sunshine. October in Florida, beautiful time to go. So as long as it's not a hurricane. And turned out it was no hurricane so far. So far, so good, Dennis.
Nice.
But we're here until 11 o'clock today to take your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're also broadcasting, simulcasting via the YouTubes. If you want to subscribe to our channel on YouTube, you can watch our show there. And, of course, on Facebook, too, over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. Everything's posted to those areas by Mike G while the show's going on. So he'll post the links that we talk about over to the Facebook page for you so you don't have to think about them or remember them or what have you. We don't want you Googling them.
No, don't Google them.
We want you to go right to the site that you get. We don't get anything for it. We don't have any marketing for you there. It's just purely the links that we're talking about for you to take a look at. So that's where that'll be. And as usual and customary, we do have some technology news that occurred over the past week or so.
Yeah, and we have a story that we're going to start off with, which is actually frightening.
A little bit. I brought it up on Tech Tuesday with Brian. It turns out he actually has this car, which I had no idea until he told me. So the ding-a-lings over at Jeep, they thought it would be a good idea to do an over-the-air update, OTA as it were, over-the-air. Now, I thought for sure that this story would be something I'd be talking about with Tesla, because they do that right all the time.
Right. They constantly send out updates for their cars.
Yeah. And an update for a car, okay, fine. You're driving, right? You're thinking to yourself, what kind of software update could do any damage to your car?
Right.
You wouldn't think that as drivers, right? You wouldn't think that the manufacturer would be ever so stupid to put an update on your car that actually impacted its driving while it was driving.
Yeah. You would think that the update would get stored in memory in the car.
Right.
And then the update would take place when you're not driving it.
Because the cars these days know whether or not they're driving. And we figured that Stellantis saw what happened with CrowdStrike, where it brought down 10 million systems due to an update. But no, Stellantis and Jeep said, hold my beer, CrowdStrike. We're going to go ahead and update over the air. And they updated the car while it was driving. People's cars were bricked. They were stuck.
Bricked while they were driving.
They couldn't use them where they were going.
Ow.
And they actually lost powertrain power as they were driving. Imagine being at 70 highway speeds, parked on the left side of the highway, driving down in Connecticut, and then your car goes dead on you because of an over-the-air update that occurred. This is breathtakingly stupid. We have the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, right? It does all these crash tests and stuff like that. Now you really have to add a checkbox, though. You have to ask these guys, do you allow over-the-air update while the car is in motion? If you do, you got to fail them right there.
Yeah, true.
Because you can't allow geeks. We've always talked about this. What was the story about software, if software people were making buildings?
If if builders built buildings the way programmers wrote programs, then the first woodpecker that came along would destroy civilization.
And here we are.
Yeah, this is it.
This is another example of that. You know, would you like, I mean, in the old days when my car was just working on pulleys and whatever wires, whatever was working back in my, I call it the silver bullet, my, it was a Nissan. No, it was not a Nissan. It was a Mercury Lynch. That thing, you couldn't do anything to that thing. And it would just continue to drive no matter what happened. There was no software update that was going to bring down the silver bullet. This stuff is crazy stupid. And it's the year 2025. So you have to ask yourself, what else is going on with updates and software people that have not connected it to real life? And how did the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety not already flag?
Well,
if this is what you do to protect safety in vehicles, how do you not flag this as breathtakingly stupid to even allow it? So if you're driving a Jeep 4xe, please contact your dealer to see what you have to do. They supposedly sent out a patch. Don't apply it while you're driving. You got to ask yourself, what else did they configure in your car that could do this? And this is for anybody who's dealing with these over-the-air updates. Nowadays, I would think most cars are connected in this way. And these manufacturers should never allow for an update to happen while you're driving 60 or 70
Absolutely
miles
an hour. Not.
All right, any speeds.
That's right.
So we'll put a link up to this story. You can read it and weep. What do you got there, Dennis?
I've got another manufacturer of cars that has a problem, a different kind of a problem, but it's a problem.
All right.
It's not a problem with the vehicles. It's with the factories and the corporation itself. Jaguar Land Rover.
Or Jaguar.
Or Jaguar.
Exactly.
I hear that sometimes, too. Yeah. I don't know which one is right.
If it's a British commercial, it's Jaguar.
Well, yeah, they also say Jaguar.
Do they?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But we digress.
At any rate, they suffered a cyber attack, I believe, going back to late August.
That actually occurred a year before the bad guys were inside.
Right. The bad guys had entered the systems a year prior, but just kind of lurked for a while before they actually struck.
Yeah.
And a lot of factories, especially in the UK, have been closed because of the cyber attack and trying to resolve it.
Yeah.
Well, the UK government is now giving Jaguar Land Rover a $1.5 billion pound, $1.5 billion with a B pound loan to help them recover from the cyber attack. Yeah. Now, we all remember when Chrysler got bailed out by the federal government here in the U.S. Right. because of
just bad business.
Yeah, bad business decisions and then the recession and a whole lot of other things. Mm. This is the first time that I can recall a major, basically subsidy being given out because of a cyber attack.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's a lot of money.
Especially one that took place after the bad guys had been lurking in their systems for a year. You would think that they had a chance to detect that and kick them out.
Yeah.
Come on.
And Jaguar is owned by Tata, which is an Indian company.
Right.
Tata Motors. Just an area of being complete for you to know kind of this, what's going on here. So that's a lot of money to bail out for a cyber attack. But cyber attacks are deadly these days, really.
They are.
To businesses. Only because you guys think crypto's a thing. Only because you think some, and now with Jamie Dimon and all these companies even more getting into it, I'm telling you, man, just watch what's going on with the cryptocurrency. It wiped away $400 billion last week in just a snap of a finger. $400 actual of fake money was wiped away by those people who took their profits while you kept pouring in your cash. Enjoy it, I guess. I don't know what it'll take for you to realize it's not a thing, but here we go. Oh, but Eric, it's so limited, you know how many cryptocurrencies are out there? Dennis and I can make one. That's how many there are. So if Dennis and I can make these things and then I can convince enough ding-dongs to buy it, is it a thing?
I wouldn't think so, but what do I know? I'm not an economist.
I guess the old saying, a fool and his money. So speaking of fools, data center water use, the governor of California. So I had a story on Tech Tuesday about how Gavin Newsom saved you all in California from loud commercials. It is annoying, right? You're watching FX, you're watching a movie or something like that, and a commercial comes on and it's like 30% louder than the movie itself. And it's like, what is going on here? You're getting blasted by a Stellantis commercial or whatever
it
might be.
That's still happening?
Well, according to Gavin Newsom, it's not anymore. He put his foot down and he stopped it.
Didn't Congress pass the COM Act in 2010?
Even that's I don't know, Dennis. Clearly it didn't work.
I guess.
Governor Newsom thought it needed to have more legislation to stop the loudness. But here, the governor says, you know what? There was a bill that basically offered transparency on the consumption that of water that data centers use. Assembly Bill 93, all right, Governor Newsom's a Democrat. It's a Democrat-controlled state. They put out this thing that says, we would like to know how much water data centers are using, and we would like to make sure that that is being disclosed. This seems like a pretty straightforward thing. How much water are you using?
Right. Who wouldn't want to know that?
Right. And considering California has some serious water challenges as it is. Well, guess what? The governor said, no, I'm going to veto that. The governor is worried that this is going to interfere with the growth of the data center industry and doesn't want to add any additional administrative functions to deal with trying to tell them how much water they're using. Just so you guys know, they're using lots of water.
Yeah, and here's the thing. There's no way that they don't know how much water they're using because they are getting what? Billed for it.
Exactly.
So how hard is it to take those bills
and share,
hand them over, put them on a website or whatever, and say, here's how much water we're using.
Right. So according to this story at the Register, the Bitbarns chug up to 5 million gallons per day of water. We won't even talk about the energy usage that's happening, which is even crazier. We're going to have Peter Kelly Detweiler on, and we hope next Saturday.
Yeah, that'd be great.
He's doing something this morning. He'll hopefully talk about it next Saturday. basically, 5 million gallons of water. Governor Newsom doesn't want you to know how much is being used. This is the kookiness of these folks. You know, how can you care about the environment and resources, and yet you're protecting the data centers from how much water they're using? It doesn't add up for me. You can't have it both ways. So which side of the equation are you on? We'll put the link up here for you guys to read it yourself. But you have to ask yourself what's going on here as to why the governor wouldn't want you to know how much water is being used by data centers. Just found it interesting. So we've got one line open for you guys, 860-522-9842. Both Dennis and I are here live. We're consuming zero water. Steve, David, and Janet, hang on, and we'll get to your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, very scary, very scary. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. I was telling Dennis earlier, I put up my plastic pumpkins for the first time in many, many years.
Whoa, that'll be nice.
There's little kids in the neighborhood, Dennis. And
really?
We want to participate in... But all right, let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Steve and Vernon first. He was on the line first. What's going on, Steve?
Well, I have three items.
All right.
I have Windows 11 22 H2 on my laptop, and it's ended the end of life, and I can't update it. So is there a way to get it to the latest version of Windows?
Yeah, you should be able to upgrade it to 20. Well, now it's 25 H2, But at least you should be able to get it to 24H2 if you use the Windows Upgrade Assistant. And we can post a link for that.
Okay, I'll look for that.
Yeah, and you're going to have to, right now, you're going to have to look for that on Facebook because our website
is
having issues.
I don't like hearing that.
Sorry about that. Okay. Sorry to say it, but it happens to geeks too, okay?
Yes.
All the computer snafus that you guys deal with out there every day, yeah, we suffer from them too from time to time. So, we'll get a link to that going for you, okay?
Very good. Thank
you. All right.
The next one, I have the Proton Mail, both the free version and the paid version, and I want to download it to Thunderbird. How can I do that?
If you're gonna use it with Thunderbird, you're gonna need a connector.
Okay.
That will essentially translate the connection between your computer and Proton with something that Thunderbird is capable of reading. We can post a link to that too.
Yeah, Proton has specific connectors designed for Outlook and others.
Yeah. And it'll essentially emulate an IMAP connection. But the article we've got will tell you how to do that.
Very simple.
Okay, thank you. That's number two. Number three, this is just an interesting observation.
Mm.
Whenever I get a call on my cell phone, before it rings there, it rings on my regular telephone, one ring first before that. What's going on?
Mm. Is your regular telephone a different number?
Yes, it is. It's regular hard copper wire telephone.
And you've noticed every time somebody calls you, that will ring first?
About 90% of the time.
Mm.
For the last couple of months.
Well, that's a weird one, Steve, because you should be mapped on the phone switch.
I don't have any connection with it.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen at all. Don't have any reason why that would be occurring that I could even think of. How about you, Dennis? I've never heard of that before.
No.
Are you sure it's not your ears ringing?
Well, people say I'm. Never mind.
That does make no sense to us as far as why that would occur.
Yeah, it happens right in front of me when I got both of them right here. The phone rings, it says incoming call, and the other phone rings.
The only way that would happen is if you're forwarding calls in some way from your cell number to your house number, which you could have configured in some sort of setup where you've said, forward calls or ring both, because you can set up that type of stuff within different dialing plans. You can do that. So maybe you've done that, or maybe someone had done that for you in the past.
I didn't do it on my cell phone because that's with me all the time.
Yeah, so since that's with you all the time, why do you even bother with the other phone? Because eventually they're going to make it really expensive for you to have it anyways.
Well, yeah. I'm just lazy getting around to doing it all.
All right. Well, my advice then would be to disconnect it to have that ring stop happening.
It's just more curiosity. It's not even a bother. But
it is weird. It makes no sense. I would say something has been configured to forward your cell number to your landline at the same time.
Okay. For one ring?
Well, one ring does seem weird, but maybe you're picking up the cell call fast enough. Are you letting I'm not even going to get into it. Somehow you're doing some sort of forwarding.
Well, sometimes I don't even pick up my cell phone because you could see on the service that it's spam or something.
Right. Thank goodness for that technology, right?
Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to keep you on.
All right, Steve. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for your help.
You're welcome, sir.
Yep.
Bye-bye. So we'll have that troubleshooter out there for the Windows 11. That is an issue. It's a pretty big issue.
Well, yeah. Probably what's happening is that something in the computer is being detected by the Windows Update service as blocking the 24H2 or 25H2 update.
Yeah.
But the upgrade I guess they call it an installation assistant now.
Yeah.
But either way, that will kind of clear the decks and it will do another check.
Nice.
And
let it
go. Yeah.
Let's go to David and Seymour next. What's happening, David?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I got a Windows 10 laptop. I'm trying to upgrade to Windows 11 because I have to. And, of course, it tells me it doesn't meet the minimum Windows 11 system requirements.
Yeah. Does it give you any inkling as to what you're missing?
Well, they just give you a list of things that need to be.
Yeah.
You know, like processor has to be 1 gigahertz. I have a 2.5.
Nice.
Got to have 4 gigabytes of RAM. I have 8.
Nice.
Got to have 500. I have 500 gigs of storage.
Mm-hmm.
And
and 130 available.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts to get, you know, they talk about system firmware and and it's like, I don't know how far down the road I want to do this because it doesn't specifically say that it doesn't work, but
right.
So I don't know if you can guide me on where the right direction would be to get there.
Well, I mean, I'll have Dennis talk too as well on this, but TPM module needs to be flipped on. So
yeah,
that's a big key to this.
Also, he may need a firmware or BIOS update mm-hmm. on the computer.
Yep.
Those are two things that I would automatically look for.
And they're both in the same place.
Yeah, because you'd be checking in the BIOS itself. The other thing is there's literally no harm in checking the TPM and turning it on.
Right.
And updating your firmware or BIOS. Yeah. So you may as well just go ahead and do them anyway.
Yeah, then run the checker again to see if you've satisfied. Yeah,
I actually did do the TPM, and that's a 2.0, which it says you need to have.
Nice.
All right, so that's good.
But so when you go to the system firmware, they're talking about secure boot capable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what am I really doing here? That's not a big deal?
No, it's not a big deal per se. It's trying to allow for that secure boot process when you turn the TPM on. So updating that firmware is probably necessary to get that functionality to work properly. So you can do that in the BIOS. Again, anytime you're messing around your system to this level, make sure you back it up. The BIOS is the brains of the computer. It kind of says, oh, I've got an arm, I've got a leg, I've got a hard drive, I've got this or that. So basically, if you lobotomize it, it's not going to know what it's got. So back up your system, make sure you can get to it, and then go ahead and do the update. You should be fine.
All right. Now, I've backed up the data often, but you're saying I should back up the system.
Well, if you've got the data backed up, at least you're protected from a failure that could occur.
Right.
That's what I want to make sure you're doing. People should always get in that habit of if you do something wrong, you want to be able to recover from it, and your data is at least there. If you did a full system backup, it'd be easier to recover your whole system, but that's a whole other process of getting an image backup of your entire system before you do this. But you got a good backup. Go ahead and do the updates on the firmware. Try to reboot again and see how it goes.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You got it, sir.
Right.
All right. Windows 10 to Windows 11, the bane of our existence. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Janet, hang on. We're going to get to you after the news. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll get right back to you after the news.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And Carolyn's got the scary music going for October. And feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And the website's working again. So
it is.
Dennis.
It just started working, and I'm putting those links up right now.
Nice. Typically, as it was with most IT issues, if you just call help desk and say it's not working, it just self-fixes. Right? Isn't that all your calls are? It just started working again. I don't know.
Some of them are like that.
I know. Big chunk, actually. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Janet in Farmington next. What's happening, Janet?
Oh, good morning. I'm getting too many junk text messages.
Too many junk text messages. Okay.
You know, you donate to someone, and then next thing you know, you're getting 80
text messages in 4 days.
Yeah, you're a hot one. They're like, oh, she's a live one. Let's see if we can get some more money from her. Right?
Right.
All right. So,
so I was thought about, you know, RoboKiller, or I have AT&T. They have something, but I don't know what you would recommend.
Well, it's never wrong to work with your carrier.
Yeah.
So if AT&T has a feature available to you that can handle that, I would definitely look into it. I do know that RoboKiller will filter out, you know, junk texts. Also, Google, even some of the standard texting apps like Google Messages, if you've got an Android phone,
yes,
will do filtering for junk, but you may have to turn it. It may be a feature you have to turn on. Yeah. I don't know. All I know is that I use an Android phone. I use Google Messages, and it does filter out the junk.
It does a good job.
It really is very good at it. Mm-hmm. So those are two ways that I would go.
Well, I have a Google phone as well.
Is it fairly current?
I know I can. It's a 9.
Nice.
And I can search known people to find my messages. But, you know, the next time I go back in, they're still there. And plus, when they go into the spam folder, they still keep beeping.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, you're still going to get notified of. It's really kind of annoying that you get notified of the spam coming in.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, why over and over and over? So in your spam folder, there's like a bazillion, you know, ones, and they you can't just delete them like you could with the, you know, with the Android regular.
Yeah.
You could just go in there every once in a while and delete them all.
Yeah.
Oh no, you have to click on every single one.
Yeah.
And.
Well, that is one of the issues of you actually, you know, you supported something, excuse me, you supported something, and then they're like, oh, this is a number that I have a live person that's willing to give money. And then they sold that information to everybody else. So it's not even really spam. It's kind of like sort of spam, right? Because once you kind of get into that ecosphere, they're not really spamming you. They're like, oh, this is a live person who likes to donate to whatever cause it was. And it's harder to block that stuff than it is to block the unsolicited wacko stuff.
Right, because even an app that's trying to filter out junk may still construe it as valid.
Right.
Because of the context that it comes in.
So maybe RoboKiller is something you consider. Maybe you look at tweaking it with AT&T. Maybe you increase your spam protections within the Google platform there. Those three things all can work together for you. But never
and in the Google platform. How do you? Where would that be?
I have to go find that, but we can go find
the link.
We'll
find a link about Google Messages.
It does a wonderful job, depending on how you configure it.
All right. Okay. Well, it's getting so bad.
Yeah.
Even when I ask for known people, it's not showing me my people. Like, where was that message? I know I didn't delete it.
Yeah. If you're getting so many in there. So the other lesson is to not respond to text messages for solicitations. That'll reduce your chances as well.
Okay. All right.
All right. Just look for our text. We'll send it to you.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
I do have Google. I had to switch from Yahoo to Google for this very same reason, and I never give out the Google,
email address.
And I really miss Yahoo because you could just do things so much easier in there. And Google decides where to put your emails.
Hmm.
Like, they take it upon themselves to put your credit card bill in social or update or something like that. So I have to go searching for my stuff all the time.
Well, I don't use Google in that way. So you could be right, but a lot of times you can configure folders and configure where your stuff goes. I know I use Outlook, and that's where I manage my email. But I've never used the Google mail client myself. But I suspect you can in there as well tag types of messages and put it in certain folders. You can create folders and do that. And you might have either inadvertently tagged your bill as social, and you just need to create a rule of some kind within your Google Mail client to direct that email to go to the right folder. It should be doable. I'm 90% sure it is doable because it would make sense that they would be able to do this. So you just got to find those messages, and typically it'd be a right click and see if they have rules or ways to designate where you want the email to go into what folder. But it should be configurable. Okay.
All right.
Pretty certain. Am I off base there, Dennis?
No, no.
It's very configurable, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just a matter of doing it. You got to sit there and do it.
You know, you're on the phone with somebody, and they say, "I'll have to send you a verification link or verification with your code."
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, okay, which where is it going to be? And I got to check all the little folders to find it.
A verification should go to your default folder by default. It should be, and again, that's, you know, you should use maybe a cell phone for that. I worry about verifications via email because if somebody's inside your email system, you could be compromised. That's a great way for folks to get compromised. If they've already got somebody receiving your emails, they'll receive the confirmations too. So I'd rather have you do it to some other device than email if you can choose it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right, Janet.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Our pleasure. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Speaking of verification, real quick before we go to a break, Discord. So Discord has been in the news for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, they have.
But in this case, Discord says the 70,000 photo IDs compromised, and actually had 70,000 photo IDs compromised in a customer service breach. So basically, Discord is trying to comply with the UK Online Safety Act, which we had these discussions where Discord's like, hey, we don't, none of our business, who uses our product, yada, yada, yada. Well, UK is saying, no, you need to make sure you do age verification. So Discord used the third-party processor to go ahead and basically what you would do if you wanted to use, this is part of their age verification, whether it be for pornography or for any kind of adult type of material, Discord is really a communication tool. And you would take a picture of yourself with your ID in front of it, right, showing your age. And then that would validate you as being old enough to use this tool, according to the UK. Well, it turns out this provider, K-ID, I guess is what it's called, was breached. So no sooner than the people are trying to actually verify their identification do you find that this they already have all that stuff breached. And I do commend the UK for trying to actually verify who's on these platforms, whether the right age, you know, if you're over 18, you should be able to access whatever material you want. If you're under that, you should be limited or restricted because there's a lot of, I don't even have to tell you, right? There's a lot of garbage on the internet. But you should at least be comforted that you know that your ID would be protected and properly secured, but not in this case. So the third party was breached. So and they really got to get their act together. Folks have to get their act together about how the security has to work and how you're going to prove you are who you are and how you're going to give access to. You just can't leave it wide open so anybody can access anything. We do need to make this work. Mm-hmm. But it is a little disheartening to find that this breach occurred. We'll put the link up here for you. You can read it and weep. But 70,000 folks. And there's easy ways around these things, right? You know, VPNs, there's ways around it so that you don't even have to connect to Discord via UK. You can connect to Discord via Saskatchewan if you wanted to. And they don't care if you're 18 or not, right? So it bypasses the UK's requirement. So it really needs to be not a new world order, but some sort of cooperative approach to keeping kids off of things that they shouldn't be connected to. So we'll put the link up here for you. We're going to step out for a quick break. John's on the line in East Longmeadow. We'll get to him after the break. And three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk, and we've got one line open for you. 860-522-9842. And also, we're on Spotify.
Yeah. Woo.
So if that is your podcasting platform of choice, do us a favor and subscribe to our little program. And we really would appreciate it. But of course, if we'd rather you be on the Odyssey app, but Spotify's out there for you too. It only took a long time for that service ticket to get fixed, but we're there. So if you do use Spotify, just do us a favor and subscribe, and we would greatly appreciate it. Let's go to your calls. I'm going to go to John in East Longmeadow. What is happening, John?
Good morning, gents. Good morning. I'm getting a problem quite frequently that I'll open a site, and then I'll click on a link in the site, and I get a message, we're having trouble finding that site. You can't connect to the server at www, that whatever the site is, and there's three options. And one of them is try again, and sometimes I can hit try again half a dozen times, and the link will make.
Yep.
Or more often than not, it doesn't. And I found out, and I don't know how I discovered this, but if I go down to the little icon in the lower right-hand corner showing the screen, I check the Wi-Fi connection I have, and the one that seems to be using most of the time, it says it's connected, but if I disconnect it and reconnect it, everything works.
Yeah.
And related to this, and this happened on my Windows 10 computer too, that's been replaced here a couple of weeks ago.
All right.
And one more bit of information, I received an email from Netgear saying that my router is at end of life situation.
Yeah, that's where we're going in my mind. There's a couple of things you could be dealing with, and just a sad, sorry, tired router that needs to be replaced. Okay. And that's not uncommon. The broadcasting power goes away. The antenna has issues. It also could be a DNS issue. You might have two issues there where your DNS settings, maybe your primary DNS setting is incorrect and it's failing to the second DNS or something like that. Just a thought, but it seems primarily that it's your device needs to be replaced. So definitely we give you permission to go out and get a current firewall with current wireless technology, and it probably will solve your issue. And while you're doing it, have you configured OpenDNS on your firewall?
I still haven't done it. I ran into a problem doing it, and I said, well, I'll get to that later, and it's not later yet.
It's going to happen now because that firewall is failing, and it makes sense to do it. You know, when you get your new firewall, you get that nice new firewall smell.
Well, not only that, you go through that nice little setup wizard in the firewall when you're first getting it going, and you may have options in there to set the DNS that you want it to give out.
Give out
OpenDNS's addresses,
right,
which are 208.67.222.222 and 208.67.220.220.
Right. Very straightforward. Okay. Very simple.
Easy to remember.
Yeah. I can't.
Are those published someplace else? I didn't write.
We have a link to the guide for OpenDNS on our website, and you click that, and it will have those addresses right on that page.
And while you're at it, make sure you change the default password of that firewall.
Oh yeah, I always do that.
Okay.
But in relation to it, to your answer, I was kind of thinking it might go that way.
Yeah.
I did some research on a new router. My current router is a Netgear, and they've offered me a 10% discount on buying a newer one that doesn't have an end of life message. But in researching them, I know I've heard you guys use the term DOCSIS 3.0, 3.1. There is now a DOCSIS 4.0.
Mm. That'll only be for modems. That you're going to get a router that's not a modem. You're going to have a separate modem from your internet provider. That's what we recommend.
Correct.
And that's going to be your DOCSIS or DOCSIS device. And then it's going to plug that into your WAN port of your firewall. Right? You have two devices, correct? You have a modem and a firewall?
Yes.
Keep it that way. Don't buy a combo unit because you're going to have low chances of having the one that actually goes with your provider.
Okay. Okay. Do you have any recommendations as for what kind of
router? I like Linksys.
Linksys,
which is a Cisco product. It served me well. I like it.
Linksys is no longer owned by Cisco.
I didn't know that. Who bought them?
Well, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, Belkin bought them.
Get out of here.
And I think now it's been carved out of Belkin, and it may be an independent company again.
Oh, my goodness.
If I remember right.
I'm going to check JetGPT.
It's been a while. I mean, I kind of gave up after a while trying to keep track of what happened with Linksys. But
holy macro, if you can't keep up, you got to take notes.
Yeah.
I got a long list of stuff here to check.
The bottom line is it's still a good product.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been working for me.
Are there any special options or anything I should or shouldn't have in that are worth paying for that aren't worth paying for in a router?
Yeah, they shouldn't sell you any kind of monthly subscriptions. You shouldn't need any of that.
No.
But just you just want a good firewall that's going to have a good wireless signal. And most of them these days are going to give you, gosh, I think they're up to Wi-Fi 7 almost now.
Yeah. Wi-Fi 7 is out.
So
I have heard that. Is that something worth worth getting if
it'll be there by default?
Yeah, I would consider it at this point. I mean, it's no longer experimental.
Yeah.
Now, there may be revisions to the protocol over the next year or two, but I at this point I would be willing to buy one that's Wi-Fi 7.
Now you're
and that would be less likely to be closer to the end of life messages.
Correct.
Just got on this one.
Exactly. Correct. You'll know that it's going to be a really really new device because if it's more than like 6 months old, it wouldn't even have Wi-Fi 7 on board. You know.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of the ones I see on the list though still show Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi 6 without the 7.
Yeah. Well, that's still the predominant.
And that'd be fine too if you have.
Yeah.
Pinch.
I mean.
Okay.
That should be fine.
Answered all my questions. Thank you very much.
All right, John. Good luck.
Good luck to you guys too. Stay out of trouble or have fun, okay?
We'll do both. Thanks. Bye. All right. We're going to get to Karen now in North Carolina. What's going on, Karen?
Well, not much going on down here. Just nice weather too, which
nice.
Is always a plus. I have a question on my Brave browser. Last week, I applied the Windows update on maybe Wednesday or Thursday. When I opened my Brave browser, that main page has my picture that was always there. But all of my icons are repositioned on the screen, and I cannot move them anywhere. If I move the icon, it snaps back to wherever it was. So, and some of them are missing. So is there a way I can get the old version of Brave up?
Well, you're moving icons. Is that on your Windows desktop or is it inside the Brave browser?
Well, on my Windows desktop, I open the browser and the main page, the home page is there. I guess that's what you call it.
Okay.
And so you're saying like the sites you go to on a regular basis are being relocated?
Well, all of the icons, you know how, like, they were lined up on the left side, and I had two rows of them?
Of frequently visited sites? Those are, like, frequently visited sites? Okay.
Yes.
All right. No, that's okay. We're just trying to understand what you're talking about. And then, of course, it's been relocated to maybe below the search window?
Well, yes. It's right in the middle of the page. It's centered perfectly in the middle of the page. I've got six of them, and I had 12 or 13, and I don't know where they are, where the other, I don't know, 10. And I got to tell you, there's in my picture, there's a white background. So I kind of like to go back to the previous Brave browser.
Can't go back anymore. We don't want you to go back. There's reasons they're telling you to update it. There's critical issues that need to be corrected and security issues, and you don't ever want to go back if you can avoid it. But you're not alone. I'm finding a lot of Reddit threads about this issue that go back years. So this seems to be an issue for folks that use the Brave browser, and Dennis is puzzling over there too.
I'm thinking what you might want to do is go into the Brave settings and then right on the main settings page, there's a block called Get Started, and inside that block it says on startup, and there will be three radio buttons, and I think you want to pick Open the New Tab page.
That's already set up that way.
All right. So it looks like the new tab page got messed up for you.
And we're trying to find a way to restore that. So many posts, I can't even tell you. From 2020, 2019, this is an issue that happens, I guess, from time to time, especially the folks who maybe have as many links as you have. We'll try to figure out where it is to give you an answer, but it's going to take too long for us to try to troubleshoot it live.
Yeah, I have a link for Amazon and a link for the USPS tracking site and FedEx and UPS and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I just can't see some of them. I don't like paging through looking for what I can. I just type it in now. Pain in the butt.
Yeah, no, we understand, especially when they change how it works. It was working fine before they updated it. We have to find an answer for you as to why it moved and changed. But there's so many posts on this and so many people responding on this that we're not finding a quick answer as to which one to choose.
There don't seem to be any real answers here. Just a lot of complaining about it.
But we'll see what we can find over the news break here. If we can find something for you, Karen, we will put it up there for you. But don't go back. The next update's going to do the same to you, and the next and the next. And we don't want you to not update because there's lots of reasons to keep your browser current.
Yeah.
So we have to figure out how to make it work for you, and we'll find something.
All right,
Karen?
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Enjoy North Carolina.
I sure am.
All right. Talk to you soon. So we'll see if we can find an answer for Karen and Joe Hang On in Berlin. And three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.